Vernon, Mama, Marcus, Nate, the whole crew.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And listen, man, you can't steal my family just because you adopted and got one of your own.
What'd you just say to me? I try and do the right thing, and this is what you do.
This is what I do.
You stir the shit, and you make things harder than it should be. Is this how you take care of your family,
calm
asshole?
Down with that, man.
That's how you take care of... You need me!
Hey, it's in the building.
Hello, 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 and welcome back. Everyone, welcome back.
It's allergy season. Hello.
That's why I sound, my voice is so sonorous today.
I'm going to be coughing. I'm going to try not to cough into the microphone, but it might be unavoidable.
I like to just breathe really loud, like, especially if I can't use my nose, just a lot of heavy, you know. That one time we opened up the can on the microphone. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
And the moment you actually got the can opened, the sardines.
Yeah, you just made some weird noise in the microphone because it ruined it.
Yeah, the isolated audio from that, which we still used, I turned it way up, is half can noise and half me going. It sounded very strange. It sounded very strange. How was your sports week, Mike?
It was very good. I've been enjoying the Wizards. I've been enjoying baseball's been interesting. It was Derek Jeter Day yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Obviously, I saw that, but I've been busy this week. I didn't get to watch much sports. I watched a couple of the basketball games, but it was usually while I was doing something else. And it's not like I need to watch sports for anything in particular that I capstone my week with.
Well, MLB.com went with the worst headline I've seen in some time, which is "To Love: The City That's Ever Jeets."
Which is, it's bad. It's bad. And he bought a team in Miami, so, you know.
Not yet.
That's true, he did.
It's not working just yet.
It could end. It could not happen for him, I suppose. Before we get to the actual basketball thing we wanted to talk about, let's talk about Charles Barkley, like, offhandedly called the hockey playoffs better than the basketball playoffs this year. And I know we both haven't watched much hockey, but how do you feel about the basketball playoffs this year?
Well, the hockey playoffs have been more interesting in that there have been more competitive games.
Well, this is also not the first time Charles Barkley has said roughly the same thing.
Well, the basketball playoffs have had some fantastic games, like especially in this...
That game six, yeah.
Yeah, that game six. The Wizards-Celtics series has been everything that everybody wanted. It's been an excellent series. The Rockets-Spurs series has had its moments. Not every game has been competitive, but some have been very good.
Yeah, disappointing elimination game.
Yeah, the Clippers-Jazz series was good.
But I didn't see any of that.
If you're watching the Cavs, if you've been waiting for someone to test the Cavs, yeah, you're bored.
And the Warriors. The Warriors who came back from, what, down 23, I think? I watched the condensed game today.
Yeah.
I believe they were down 23, something like that.
I have no problem with the Cavs-Warriors final.
No, me either.
Because that's kind of what you want.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Celtics.
It's the two best.
I'd like to see the Wizards.
Yeah, if the Wizards got there, oh, that'd be awesome. Because then you have your one like certifiable underdog, and you have everyone has a team to root for, except for Golden State fans.
And Colin Cowherd.
I was going to say except for San Francisco or Oakland, but... the Bay Area, but then I realized that basically every child under 10 in America owns a Steph Curry jersey.
Yeah, they own that state for the most part. What are you gonna root for? The fucking...
I'm rooting against the children.
I live in California and root for the fucking Kings. Go ahead and see how your life goes. I mean, imagine being 8 and deciding on a team right now.
All right, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, because of what they were doing when I was 5, I get it. But I think that's it's weak parenting. Honestly, no.
It's John Wall-esque parenting.
When you walk around this city and you see kids like in a PSG jersey, like they didn't buy that with their own money. They're 8. Like a parent had to go out and buy them a Paris Saint-Germain jersey, and you have to go like, what morally bankrupt person would give money to the I. Ugh.
I work with kids, and I imagine it would be quite tough to tell your child he's wrong about his sports opinions if he's showing passion for something.
No, you...
Especially with these millennials, the way they are.
You have a responsibility to tell your kid, no, that team is disgusting from top to bottom.
What if you don't watch soccer? Your kid likes PSG, because PSG obviously wins a lot, and you just go, yeah, have the fucking...
What if your kid came and said, Dad, I need a Brazzers account, and what, you didn't know what that was?
I think it's
you
a little...
You just give him the credit card number?
Well, no, because personally, I think people who pay for porn need to be sterilized.
Well, what if you don't know what that is?
What porn is? I'm listening. I'd like to talk to that person.
the incredible sequence on Veep last night with Richard. Not only not knowing what, not knowing how to masturbate, but really just unfamiliar with the concept as a whole.
How will I know when I'm done? You know what? No, I'll figure it out. That was a good episode. That was a good Richard episode.
One of the best things they've ever done.
Yeah, no, that was good. Like naivety that extreme is hard to make funny. Like that's all Big Bang Theory is naive ass jokes. Like people who just don't fucking get it.
Yeah, but
they're smart, but are they really smart? And obviously the writing is better, but like at its core it was a joke about not knowing how to masturbate, which is a completely unreasonable thought for an adult man.
Yeah, but acted out with
good actors.
A+. I don't know his name. I don't know the actor who plays Richard's name.
What else did we watch yesterday? He was immediately in. Like we saw him again, like within a half hour.
Oh, he was in Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising.
We did watch the Neighbors 2 for like 10 minutes.
By the way, like I was thinking about Zac Efron this morning, and all I can think is, I hope he saves his money. Because here's the thing, he turns 30 this year, and he's not gonna.
He's younger than Dave Franco.
But he turns 30 this year, and he's not gonna look like that forever, and he absolutely cannot act, so he better save his money. I bet he seems like the sort of guy that's probably invested in a tech company.
Somehow he's like had a career renaissance from teen beat heartthrob to comedic crutch for The Rock. Like he's not funny. He
no,
isn't
well,
funny.
Well,
he's,
as we learned,
he's a good-looking guy, which is why he's famous.
He was the only person in Neighbors 2 that wasn't yelling.
Yes. Neighbors 2 is just Seth Rogen getting loud.
We were waiting for the 1:30 in the morning to come around so that the episode of Silicon Valley that we'd missed would come back because I still haven't set the season pass to it. Still haven't recorded it.
Foolish. It's just as much on me. I'm as much to blame.
But in any case, 20 minutes of Neighbors 2 was unbearable, and there were some decent jokes, but the entire script is just shouted. Every scene is just shouting.
And if you are a listener that liked Neighbors 2, please leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, absolutely.
iTunes.
If you loved it, mention that in the
rate
review.
Rate and review. Share.
Tell everyone that liked Neighbors 2 to check out the podcast because it was still pretty popular.
Did you be ready in 1 month for our Neighbors podcast where we cut Neighbors up into 15-minute segments and we just go through it in just 1 half-hour podcast per.
All right. Well, seeing as we need to transition out of...
We're
getting further away from Kawhi, but I do want to mention, because it's going to happen, and I know that you wanted to sit on this for a bit, but now that we decided that we're just going to do it...
Oh, you're going to announce it? All right.
There will be a Ballers podcast. I've been working my way through season one. And we're every week, in addition to the regular show, we talked about doing this as a premium thing.
But it's going to be more popular than this.
But yeah, we can't bury this behind a paywall because no one's going to pay for that. So Ballers season 3. It's going to happen July 23rd after the second episode of season 7 of Game of Thrones.
The second episode?
No, yes.
Okay.
Game of Thrones is going to get a week by itself, and then Ballers will come back.
As it should be.
Yeah, get everybody some time to reflect on the first episode of season 7 of Game of Thrones.
It's not TV, it's fucking HBO.
That's
Game of Thrones and Ballers, the two best shows on television, back to back.
Now,
funniest show on TV, hands down, Ballers.
If you're not watching Ballers, get caught up. We're gonna do a recap episode of season 1 and 2 that we're going to try to do as concisely as possible.
Realizing that you will not go back in time and listen to our Ballers episode 1 podcast.
But you should. You absolutely should go and watch all of it if you've got HBO Go.
I also have zero intention, as of right now, of it just being you and me. I'd like somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Or two, or three.
I would like a different guest every week. And now I can't, I haven't really thought about the logistics of this. I don't think we're going to be able to record immediately after we watch it on Sunday nights. I would like to say, expect by Wednesday of every week.
We're putting last week's up on Sunday. 1 week tape delay. It's going to be great.
Pre-taped.
We'll just save them all
till
after the
season. Call-in show. If you wanted to talk about episode 7, you should have called in last week when we were talking about episode 6.
All right. Do you think that Zaza was negligent, or did he did it on purpose to Kawhi, who turned his ankle on top of Zaza's foot?
Just really quick, I want to mention that on May 7th, Elizabeth Warren tweeted about how she loves Ballers.
That was a very conflicting thing you just said for me, because that's the person I respect a great deal. I guess I'm not paying for her taste in media. I don't pay anything, but you know what I mean.
The Rock thanked her, and she said, "We've got 7/23 marked on our calendars. Sure hope Ricky sticks with the Pats." Spoilers.
Oh, man, you did. That was a spoiler.
Listen, so much unfolds. You have so much to learn.
Yeah, really.
About Ricky Jarrett.
And on the other side of that, much like all the great dramas, one season of Ballers does not reflect on what's going to happen in another season. But these things stand in a vacuum and will be remembered forever, very separately. Like season 2 and season 3 of Sopranos, like they're both good. You don't need to know exactly what happened. You know, it's fantastic. Fantastic show.
All right. And you asked me, did Zaza truly do that on purpose? Was that the question?
It was negligence or otherwise.
100% on purpose.
You think it was on purpose?
Absolutely on purpose. That's why you do that. You do that to injure people. It's a well-known move.
I don't agree that it was on purpose, but I don't think it makes it right.
I don't.
If it was on purpose, should he be suspended?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I think it would be ludicrous to suspend him for that because you can't prove the intent, and that's all it is.
As Greg Popovich said, intent doesn't matter.
But you can't. That's in my opinion, a terrible statute for a sport.
No, it's still reckless.
Anytime somebody comes down on somebody's foot, they should, I don't want to say suspended, but
when
like fined or something.
When that person slides their foot underneath them as they're in the air, yes, because this is a well-documented thing that happens. And people are pointing out the irony of Greg Popovich complaining about this when he supported Bruce Bowen all his career, when this is Bruce Bowen's signature move, pretty much. But this is something that people have done for a long time, Bruce Bowen specifically.
Yeah, I see your point. And he's been doing that for a long time, I'd imagine. Blocking shots, like trying to block shots like that. So you know where to stand.
Yeah, you know where, and when someone's in the air, they're effectively defenseless. So then you put, unless, of course, you have a kick in your shooting motion, as some claim to. But no, you slide your foot under them, because when they come down, they're going to roll their ankle on you. We could go try it upstairs if you want.
I'm just going to slide things on. I don't want to. My feet are bad enough.
But no,
I can't afford a twisted ankle.
You can't say that you can't say intent doesn't matter. Like, you know, if.
I didn't say intent doesn't matter. I said that's all that matters.
Oh, well, or rather, excuse me, I messed up there. You can't say that it doesn't matter if he intended or not, you know, or if that intent has nothing to do with it. Because whether or not he intended to do it, he still hurt him and it's still reckless. He still didn't need to put his feet there.
Reckless is a good word for that. So, when you put it like when you frame it in the reckless sense, then your point is much stronger. I agree. Leaning towards agreeing now.
Yeah, it's like you don't intend to plow through like a bunch of children when you're running by a pool,
as one does.
But you may, and that's why they tell you to not run by the pool. In addition to the slipping hazards, because there's a lot of people out there.
I thought you were talking. You said plow through a bunch of children, and I assume you're talking about driving. You're talking about running next to a pool.
Yeah.
Good. We're pivoting. The best idea I've seen from a sports team all year belongs to, as of right now, the Oakland Athletics for the $20 a month ballpark pass. $20 a month, you can go see them you can go see any A's game you want from now, I believe, till September.
Oh, yeah, you can, you pick your month. So don't pick May. It's already 15 days into May, but you pick June. And then for $20, this is a fantastic idea.
Wait, you pick 1 month? I think it's just you pay June, July, August, September, and it starts in June. So 4 months, you pay $80 and you can go to whatever game you want.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. But even then, that's still pretty good.
No, it's still absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
$80, you pay $80, you go see six games, and you're making out like a bandit.
I have to imagine that they have you don't get perfect seats here, but you get the cheap seats, you just show up to the game, you wander around, you wait to see where people aren't sitting, and then for the most part, unless it's like right behind the plate, you're not going to be able to get down there. But, you know, you can move down, you can get the better seats. We realized this when we were at the Mets game. Granted, it was very cold. So there were even less people. It was a late Sunday night game. It was very cold. But we made the mistake of buying good seats because what we could have done is spent $6 and just wandered the concourse where you have much better views and you have effectively good standing room where no one's going to tell you to move, you know, as long as you're not blocking the stairs. Like, you can't go stand on the stairs. But you can stand on the third baseline right behind the last row with a great view of the entire field.
Yeah, those
and no one's going to ask you to move. There's even cup holders there.
We used to do that with the Phillies, but usually standing room tickets were cheap enough that like you just buy the $15 standing room ticket.
Yeah.
That was great. But the Phillies have wraparound. Like, you can stand anywhere you want in the park on that like terrace level. So you go down into the lower deck or you can go up the steps, but you just stay on that first level and you can go anywhere around the...
Do you still want to do a Mets-Phillies July 2nd?
I forgot about that. Let me look at my calendar. To meet us there. Let me look at my calendar live on the podcast.
It's a 1:10 game.
July 2?
July 2, Sunday. And if you're in the...
It's already in there. Look at that. Mets question mark?
If you're in the New York metro area, buy the cheapest seat on StubHub and then come walk around the concourse with us.
I'll go to that. That's fine.
The cheapest
sure...
tickets right now are like 20, with fees, they're going to be like 25, but it's...
That's negligible. That's totally fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
What you're not thinking about is that's going to rub against our Ballers podcast, isn't it?
No, because Ballers doesn't come back till July 23rd.
July 23rd? I thought you said June.
No.
Great.
We can only be so lucky.
Things are coming up huge then. This is the best day I've had in...
It's also a 1 o'clock game, so we're going to be home by 5. Just get the whole afternoon to get tanked in the yard.
Like King of the Hill.
Well, that's all I really want most of the time. I think about, you know, I don't need to go. I don't need to go nice places.
The back to this ballpark pass, the A's ballpark pass. This it's obviously a attempt by a team that is struggling and will be struggling for the rest of the year to get people to get butts in the seats. On the other hand, this also kind of strikes me as like a low stakes season ticket kind of thing. Like, get the people who will never be able to afford a season ticket into that stadium like more than once a year. And I think it's great.
Yeah. I would say.
And it also fits nicely in the changing way that we ingest media in the like the pay to play sort of like Spotify, Netflix, Patreon shit. It falls right into that.
Yeah, it's a subscription just like anything else. I think it's very good. And I would now, granted, if you're a more popular team, you know, well, actually with baseball, the Red Sox claim to have that home sellout record, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know if they were actually getting the 30,000 some people every game. That record is definitely a lie, right?
I don't know. It could be, but if there was a team that was going to sell out, how many games did they sell out? Every game for a season? Or you were Googling that. If there were a team to do it, I would imagine it would be like the Red Sox.
820, they claim.
Oh, good Lord. That's 10 years.
10 straight years.
2004 to 2014? Like, if they did it then, or 2003?
3 to 13.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, but...
And then in 2014, they don't have a sellout, and they just, start this shit again because they win the World Series.
But I just don't believe it.
Whether everybody showed up is a different question than whether the tickets were purchased.
They count playoff games, but here, and sure enough, the official attendance for the 8-5 loss to the Baltimore Orioles was 30,862. The capacity for that night at Fenway Park was 37,493. So after 820 consecutive games, 7,000 people didn't show up the next time?
They just found out. It wasn't like the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme.
It wasn't like by five. It wasn't that they fell like just short 7,000.
Yeah.
How do they account for that?
Because the Orioles are terrible, perhaps, in 2013 or 14?
They play the Orioles 18 times a year, yeah. 9 times at home.
Okay.
So...
What month? Was it like a May game?
It was an April game.
Okay.
April 11th, the story went up. So right. That would have been April 10th, I guess?
I don't know. I got no good analysis for this. It could be a lie. We've been lied to before.
The Red Sox streak attracted a fair amount of ridicule last season, where there were many nights the ballpark was not full, but the team maintained it had sold enough seats to satisfy the sellout criteria. According to the Red Sox, the club averaged 36,605 tickets sold per game during the streak. Fenway Park's seating capacity was only 34,807 in 2003 when the streak began.
Do they have, I don't think they have standing room in Fenway. It wouldn't make sense if they did. Have you been to Fenway?
No.
The interior, like, before you get to your seats is very tunnel-y. Because it's like kind of, the field's kind of set pretty low compared to the street, I believe. But either way, it's like, it's old, so it kind of like strikes you as like a subway station, sort of, just no tile. It's just kind of that subterranean kind of feel. So there's no, I don't think there's standing room. You wouldn't be able to stand anywhere and see.
But I'm just saying, there's Mets tickets, you know, like, even when the Mets are good, there are still a lot of tickets available. They're not especially good right now.
I wanted to...
Citi Field fits 41,922.
We talked about this before, but we're going to talk about it on the show now. Are you going to watch any of Charles Barkley's shit television show?
100%, yes.
Yeah, I am too. But I'll probably wait for them all to come out.
Well, I wanted to drop in a Stuart Lee clip.
Go ahead.
Which, yeah, well... shall I just play it?
Yeah. It's a minute. It's fine.
Well, the thing is, I saw... I read the Ringer piece. I'm in the wrong channel on Slack. Hang on. I read the Ringer piece that was about Barkley's show, and I saw the quote from it where he said, like, I want to get this exactly correct. So the Quran, he says to Imam Zia Sheikh, is basically y'all Bible.
What was that affectation in your voice, Mike?
It's a Charles Barkley impression.
Yeah, good save. Good save. Yeah, it looks...
No, I can't. I ain't in no ways tired.
Actually, you better say that was a Hillary thing.
That was, yeah. I would hope people know that's the Hillary impression.
If you said that, no, I wouldn't have remembered that.
Well,
if you said that, you did say that.
Hillary Clinton's everyone's grandmother, and that's why it's okay. Everyone's racist grandmother.
A man not smart enough to talk to you about much is going to sit down and talk the race issue out.
Yeah, this Stuart Lee clip is the first thing I thought of when I thought about Charles Barkley hosting this show.
A lot of people think the Loch Ness Monster doesn't exist, don't they, actually? Now, well, I don't know anything about zoology, biology, geology, geography, marine biology, cryptozoology, evolutionary theory, evolutionary biology, meteorology, limnology, history, herpetology, paleontology, or archaeology. But I think...
It's a good line.
What if a dinosaur had got in the lake?
Sturley's my favorite comedian by far. I mean, and that while that's one of the few clips you can get down to 1 minute.
He's very long-winded.
Yeah, most of them are things that where it's this incredible like circular thing.
Yeah, he's given a lot of leeway by his audience. Like he leads them down the path for some time.
They trust him that like this is going somewhere.
Yeah,
because there are like 4 minute chunks where you're just like, I don't know what he's saying, and this isn't funny.
Yeah, it's stuff that wouldn't play in an open mic night.
And then it comes back around, and you just go, like, that was incredible.
Yeah. Like, you get 5 minutes in an open mic night, you can't do a Stuart Lee bit.
Yeah, like, if I can recommend one thing to everyone, it's going to take you 20 minutes. But you look up the Stuart Lee pear cider things when he claims that Magners, the cider company, stole his family motto. Find the full version of it. When he tells real stories about his grandparents and that aren't jokes, that in the lead into it, just to build a sense of realism about it, and then claims that Magner stole his family motto.
I've seen that bit.
It's 20 minutes long. Every second of it is perfect.
There's
it's my favorite.
The
thing.
One I like is the one, you're going to have to help me remember it a little bit. It's the one where there's like some British guy at a bar says, like, they don't let you do something anymore.
The cab driver said if you say you're English, you get locked up and thrown in jail.
Yeah, and he bet the back and forth on that.
He repeats that for 4 solid minutes. He said, it's him saying, it's like, and he said, if you say you're English, you get locked up and thrown in jail. And I said, and I said, are you sure? I mean, just if you say you're English, you get locked up and thrown in jail. And it's that back and forth with different, like, tones and, like, different stressing, just different parts of the sentence for 4 minutes.
There's
a fantastic payoff in it. It's a lot of this is on YouTube. A lot of it is patience testing. A lot of people really don't like him, and I absolutely get why. And part of it is because he has an extraordinarily smug audience who think that they're as smart as he is and just yell at people, and it's really annoying.
You?
No,
that was
well,
no.
I don't, I don't.
You don't do a lot of yelling, actually.
No, not so.
Only
much.
At me.
No, only I yell at you about usually about show related things, and I yell at I yell at people online. I try to get blocked on Twitter by people. No one's blocked me, to my knowledge.
Really?
No, I can't get anyone to block me, no matter what I say. I've been going at Mike Huckabee hard about his son murdering that dog, just like everyone else has, and everyone else has been blocked, but not me.
You're a nobody. Why wouldn't he block you? As soon as somebody tweets about Mike Huckabee's son, if you didn't know, killed a dog.
How come your obese son murdered that dog at summer camp? And he says, not a word. Well, I don't think he responds to anybody who says that. Now, granted, he acknowledges that the dog murder happened, but he doesn't call it a murder. I think he calls it like a... He says that he put the dog out of its misery, which still...
Was it his dog?
No.
Oh, I was about to say, if it was his dog, there's an argument to be made.
Most people would like find a vet. But I don't know. Maybe he'd make the claim that they're country folk. Although I'd like to see, you know, how much money he had in the bank at the time his son murdered the dog.
My dad told me a story. My family's from Iowa, like farmers from Iowa, and my dad told me a story about when he went there as a kid. My great grandfather, his grandfather, was like, "Yeah, we got to take care of something in the barn. Come on." And my great grandfather has a BB gun with him, and goes to the barn and starts shooting birds out of the rafters, and would, you know, like, they just had a jillion pigeons in there or something.
Jillion.
He shoots the bird with the BB gun. It falls to the ground. He just casually walks over, snaps his neck, throws it in a bucket. And he was like, "You want to shoot Seth?" And he's like, no, I don't. This is..." And just watches his... my dad watches his grandfather just murder, like, 20 pigeons.
The most brutal story I've heard like that is a guy I used to work with, one of the older car salesmen at one of the dealerships. He was from Ireland, and he says that if one of the cats that was like on the property had kittens, they had to drown them. And he's like, "You couldn't afford to feed them. What were you gonna do?"
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, that's awful. And I'm not even like, I'm a liberal, but I'm not like anti-hunting, anti-killing it. Like, I don't care about that kind of stuff. But like the idea of drowning a cat or just like casually walking in and massacring a bunch of pigeons is so funny.
That's what Ted Williams used to show up at Fenway with a gun and shoot birds.
It was a simpler time.
I said, imagine Mookie when Betts men were men. That. Mookie Betts showed up with a gun and just started shooting birds at Fenway. First of all, this is before like there were ballpark tours, so now there's probably somebody there just, you know, just touring the stadium
all the time.
Like,
yeah.
And this is Pesky's pole, and
we haven't squabbed tonight. All right, so
what do we talk about?
Nice pivot here into the funniest thing a celebrity did on the internet allegedly all weekend. Why don't you bring up Fran Tarkenton?
Oh yeah,
you do the lead in for this because this was more you.
This is not something we got from SB Nation. This is not something we got from Deadspin. This is not anything that we saw online anywhere else. This is something that I pulled in entirely myself, and I only give myself that much credit because I had to take the time to scroll all the way back to find the thing that I wanted because I did not, at your urging, pull it up when you told me to. So...
Professional. I like that. Go ahead.
But you know what? I didn't... I somehow managed to keep speaking without doing a bunch of ums throughout that, which is
you're improving.
Really incredible considering that I can't really say anything else. Okay. So at 1184 Broadway in New York sits Maxwell's Chop House. It's been the restaurant's a couple months old. My boss wanted to check it out. Former, like one of our coworkers was in town. Like she moved to, she's out in San Francisco. She comes back. So my two bosses took her out to dinner there. It's a place, you know, they've been meaning to check out. It's right up the block from work. So one of my bosses decides to look up the reviews on Yelp. All like 2- and 3-star reviews, really, in the end. They didn't look it up before they went. They said pretty good, all things considered. However, there is one review that I would like to read to you. Fantastic. As a retired NFL Hall of Fame quarterback and a business CEO, I have had the opportunity to travel the world. My wife is an outstanding cook, and both of us are foodies who enjoy fine wine and fine dining. We annually visit New York, along with Palm Beach, Napa Valley, Carmel, I guess, if you want to call it that, St. Bart's, and some European travel. As a steak lover, I have enjoyed the multitude of fine steakhouses, especially in New York. On a recent visit, we discovered Maxwell's Chop Ouch, which has recently opened in Nomad. This place is spectacular in every way. Just looking at the decor lets you know that you are in a real treat, and owner Pabs Haddad is a national treasure. Their steaks are the finest I've ever had. Beautifully aged, tender, and perfectly cooked, medium rare, we requested. I'm very serious about fine wine and was impressed not only by the selection of Maxwell's Chop House, but the reasonable prices I found. We enjoyed a wonderful Ornellaia with our meal, which is a very expensive wine from Italy. We spend approximately 30 nights a year in Manhattan, and I fully expect a lot of those evenings will include dining at Maxwell's Chop House.
Money, please. Money, please. That was Frank Tarkenton when he was done.
You motherfucker.
Yeah, what?
You stepped on my reveal.
That was your reveal?
I never said that he wrote it. Well, first of all, he didn't write it. Because there's no goddamn way that Fran Tarkenton wrote that review. Not a chance.
You didn't say Fran Tarkenton wrote that?
No.
So do your reveal again. I'll get rid of that.
It's funnier to leave it like that. It's funnier than me just actually being upset with you. There's no way that 77-year-old Fran Tarkenton writes like that. That is someone... I'm not calling Fran Tarkenton stupid, but he doesn't know that neighborhood's called Nomad, especially because that's like made up within the last couple years because they needed a name for that shitty part of Broadway where you need a street vendor license in order to buy all the handbags. That strip of Broadway between
what?
From
numbered streets.
From Madison Square Park.
Okay.
Up to Herald Square. That stretch of Broadway until like the last 2 years. With the exception of the Ace Hotel, has only been stores that sell cologne and handbags that you cannot just go buy. Like you need your the license to like have a street cart or your table set up in order to buy anything from them. A vendor license. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. No. I've been. I don't think I've been
there.
It's
terrible. For reference, that like 10 hours as a woman in New York, that street harassment video from a couple years ago. Like 95% of it was filmed of her just walking up and down that part of Broadway. So, Fran Tarkenton doesn't like hang out there.
I love why Fran Tarkenton?
I don't know. I think there must be someone who just asks literally anyone with any sort of name recognition, hey, can we buy your likeness in order to promote steakhouses? Like, this is definitely, there's some service who reaches out to people who otherwise, you know, don't have, like, yet. You know, not on TV, not really pundits, just Fran Tarkenton is just sitting there. Fran Tarkenton has nothing
professional
going
celebrity.
On. Yeah. Like people know who he is, but he's not doing anything.
Well,
presumably.
Imagine making a decision based on what Fran Tarkenton likes in your life. Like, why is his opinion the, well, I mean, but this one's got Fran. Like, he's not the tiebreaker for me in any.
I also want to point out that he joined Yelp in May 2017. This review was written on May 12th, and it's his only review.
Yeah, that's very strange, because you'd think if he were going to do this thing like that, like obviously paid reviews, he would just, I guess he might have just started doing this, and we'll see if more reviews pop up. Would you like to talk about the odds and ends from soccer, including your thoughts on Chelsea finally finishing and clinching? Not like finally, it was foregone.
Chelsea locked up the league, everybody. You heard it here first. Tottenham put the pressure on, which Arsenal fans are consoling themselves with, considering that Arsenal are almost guaranteed to finish fifth, bar a miracle at Anfield next Sunday. Already relegated Middlesbrough need to go win away at Liverpool, and Arsenal need to win in order to finish fourth. But everyone's making fun of Tottenham for their best ever season was the season that they, quote, put the pressure on. Again, they have not won the title since '61.
That was their best ever season. They just had it.
I believe so. They've had really bad luck, and the teams this year and last year were both outstanding, and they just ran into teams that were just better than them. Like you know, like last year they had the miracle Leicester team, and then finished third in a 2-horse race when they lost 5-1 to already relegated Newcastle on the final day, allowing Arsenal to finish second. Still well out of the title picture, of course. We have Champions League finalists. That might have been decided before the last episode aired, but some of you might not know.
You were going to talk about how they're both actually champions?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called the Champions League, but you don't need to be a champion to play in it. A lot of people don't know that. Each country's you're allocated a certain number of spots. England gets 4, for example. You get 3 that go automatically, and then you have the 4th is a play-in game, where you'd play some, say, lesser league's champion or the 4th place finisher from Germany, that sort of thing. In any case, Juventus and Real Madrid are your finalists. It's going to be real good.
If our listeners don't give a review, I totally understand why, because it's such a pain in the ass to load up the review site. And I've tried to review podcasts before, and it's always like, sign in and do this and do this, and there's too many steps. It should be a little easier. That little extra, that little, you know?
The actor that plays Richard on Veep is called Sam Richardson.
So that's fun. That's easy to remember.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes to what?
The Champions League final. It's going to be great.
There was another... No, we don't need to talk about that one. Do you want to laugh at Michaela Maroney?
I don't know what she's doing.
Falling apart?
I don't know if this is... I don't think this is a breakdown.
Well, if Michaela Maroney, former Olympic gymnast, if you're unaware, is breaking down, she's been doing it for, like, since the Olympics. For 4 years, she slowly degraded into this. And she posted some gif of her in a thong and spinning around the other day. And I, by the way, I'm over the phrase, I'm sure you are too. Breaking the internet, broke the internet, whatever. It's so dumb. That gif did not break the internet.
Well, she posted something immediately afterwards that I didn't get hacked. Unfollow me if you need to. All love.
She is who she is.
One of my favorite things about... just any famous woman on Instagram who posts any picture of themselves and doing anything sort of revealing, there are, read the comments on those. The comments on any of those things to own.
Yeah, when, they are so good.
Go through Emily Ratajkowski's comments. An incredible collection of maniacs are in there. There was one picture she posted like out a plane window of, or actually, yeah, so not even a picture of her. It was just out a window, and there were multiple people arguing about chemtrails in the comments.
this is the place for this discourse.
But people would, like, Michaela Maroney's Instagram comments be like, Michaela, please, you need to show more respect for yourself. I look up to you, and this is not something that I want to see. And then someone's just like, why don't you shut the fuck up?
This is...
It's awesome.
She popped into weird fame based on like that meme she turned into, and she just wasn't fucking ready for it. She wasn't ready for it at all, and she's just been trying to chase it and can't. Like, nothing she will do will ever equal that vault. That could have been that little half step cost her the gold medal. Do you see that vault? She does the vault and she lands, and instead of sticking it, she takes a little hop. Baby, huh?
That vault's incredible. All the same, like, it's still.
I think it's. I believe it is called a Yurchenko 1.5 layout. It might be harder than that. I don't really remember it. I just remember she lands facing forward instead of facing the vault, so which means it ends in a half twist instead of a full twist.
You know, it's. I remember watching it side by side with a vault from the 50s, a vault from the 50s that would probably be. Within the first couple of weeks of learning the vault at this point.
You're learning that 50s vault. Like, if you're on a competitive team, you're learning that in a year.
So,
yeah. I teach that Olympic vault right now, all the time.
Vault, I think it's my favorite Olympic event. I think it's the most impressive Olympic event. Single thing. Not going to pick basketball.
just the vault once. As far
but prefer over the yeah, would I rather watch the entire? Yeah, I don't know. It,
I would urge you to watch.
I don't want
to
watch a vault season. I don't want to watch 82 Knicks vault.
But for a half an hour every 4 years.
Yeah.
I would urge you to watch men's high bar finals. Those are always wild. You got guys doing double full twisting double backs and then catching the bar again. I would also, like, it's worth watching, like, every 4 years, pommel horse finals. Men's pommel horse is just the most perplexing thing. Nothing else in sports prepares you for what you have to do to be good at pommel horse. It is completely its own thing.
Yeah.
It's incredibly impressive to watch.
But, you know, if I wonder if it, like, American high schools would just, are there high schools that have gymnastics programs?
There's some left with girls. There's really none left with boys.
If there were a boys gymnastics, I imagine that the preparation for that would just be running laps, because that's how we teach kids everything in high school.
You have very little lap running. A lot of suicides, a lot of short sprints.
I could see that.
But lots of chin-ups and push-ups. That's it. Chin-ups and push-ups all day. And hold a handstand. That's bare bones. You want to get good at gymnastics. Chin-up, handstand, push-up. Every day.
There you go. I do it like twice, sometimes once a week.
I
have allergies right now, so I can't.
Yeah, no, that's
otherwise
fine.
I would.
I'd do the
high bar, but I've got allergies.
I'm too jaded with workout. I can't work out unless I'm competing, and I don't find myself competing very often, so I don't work out very often.
I get it. What else we have? We got anything else to wrap up? I mean, we're already talking about Michaela Maroney's Instagram, so we got to be near the end here.
I wanted to just briefly say that I wasn't aware baseball kept track of the thing called the Immaculate Inning, which is 3 strikeouts on 9 pitches.
Ooh.
It's been done 79 times in history. There's been 3 this year. The record is 7 in a season. It's been done this year by Drew Storen, Craig Kimbrell, and most recently the other day by Max Scherzer after he got hit by a comebacker. Thank you, Deadspin's Dan McQuaid, for doing all the research for me. I just didn't realize that was a thing. I either didn't know or didn't remember.
Nor did I.
Fewer perfect or immaculate innings than no-hitters.
That means it's harder. That's obvious.
Yeah. Well,
let it be known.
Completely different things.
Nine pitches is harder than 9 innings. A lot of people don't know that.
Then they don't care to find out either.
They don't care to find out. These people, they don't.
So what do you call immaculate inning? I guess the immaculate game would be if you struck out 27 players.
Yeah. Which, if that ever happens, I hope they stop baseball.
That will never happen. That guy's just got to stop. Just give this guy $500 million and just say he can't play anymore. Like, thanks, but no thanks.
There's
too good.
There's probably a movie where that happens. I remember there was this kid I knew growing up who told me that his dad got 18 hole-in-ones on a golf course.
Yep.
I was arguing. That's when I was like 12. I think he might have been 10 or something. I don't know. But I'm just like, I watch a lot of golf. Like,
I like this sport,
this is my best sport. This is what I go and do. And
if Tiger Woods went to a pitch and putt, is that what those are called?
Yeah. That is the technical term. Yes.
A pitch and putt. 18 holes, he's not getting a hole-in-one 18 times, let alone on a par 3. It's not happening. Oh. I'm going to tell you, Mike, because I like you, this kid lied to you.
I think he lied to me, and I want an apology.
I don't
want to
see you treated like that.
If I even remembered his name, I'd demand an apology.
I don't want to see you treated like that. People shouldn't take advantage of you because you're good-natured.
But you know what? If his dad's still out there playing, I hope he does get 18 holes old in one, because that'd be a hell of an accomplishment for anybody, and I don't want to take that away from him.
Did you see that video of the guy who bowled a 300 in like a minute and a half? He just had all the pins set up in 13 lanes and just went, ball, throw, ball, throw.
It does sort of diminish the accomplishment for everyone else, doesn't it? When someone does something like that, you're just like, wow, we used to put a lot more stock into this, and he just did it like it was a party trick, and now we need
what a piece of shit.
Now we need something else. We need something
shit.
Else
just
to measure bowling. Ourselves by.
My next door neighbor's dad has at least one 300 ring. I think it's just the one, but he's got like a nice ass ring to commemorate the opportunity. We're gonna wrap the show down, and I'm gonna read a 5-star review.
I wanted to mention one other random thing. If you don't follow NBA prayer requests on Twitter, it's one of the great Twitter accounts. It's really funny. Every time, if it's a player's birthday, if a player picks up the most minor of injuries, they will tell you to pray for them, and they've got a ready-made graphic of that player, like current team, like current uniform, everything, watermarked hashtag NBA prayer request. They are ready to go for every single player.
That is awesome.
And they posted a really terrible Mother's Day graphic. Not in sentiment. It was just said, you know, happy Mother's Day from your prayer request, but it looked like absolute shit. And it's the best. I love them.
Well, good. NBA prayer request. That you said the Twitter handle, and I smiled to myself. Like, that can't not be good. All right. 5 stars. Killing it. Caitlyn Jenner, Jim Webb, Sports Online. Each and every one of them killing it in their own ways. Bring back the crisp mold guy. Bring back that crisp mold guy, though. He seemed a charming chud.
Mentioned Jim Webb, former Democratic candidate for president.
He did.
He did. Jim Webb killed that guy.
I don't remember what this refers to. I don't think I remember.
Well, Caitlyn Jenner kills people with her car.
Yeah.
And Jim Webb, the moderator of the debate, I forget who it was, asked, like, what enemy are you happy to have made? And I think, like, and, you know, Bernie Sanders said, like, Wall Street or whatever. Hillary probably said something noncommittal. And Jim Webb was just like, well, I'd say it was the guy who shot me in Vietnam, but he's dead.
Okay, I remember Jim Webb now. Yeah, no, that was something else.
As you log into Seamless.
Yeah, I'm ordering PDs right now. I'd rather 5-star review. We're done. Why don't you end it?
Go follow Sports Online on Instagram, _SportsOnline, even though I haven't posted anything. Also the Twitter, where I don't post anything. On Facebook, we post the episodes, which if you're listening to this, you already, you better be subscribed.
Wait, did you say you don't post anything on Instagram?
Well, I haven't in a week, and now I feel guilty about it.
Okay, you post things on Instagram.
Yeah, I post things on Instagram.
Facebook, you do.
By the way, all the porn bots that followed us got deleted, so please help our numbers. We're down. We lost 8 followers because they all got deleted because...
So, yeah. Make porn bots.
Yeah.
Guys, give us 5-star reviews. It will clearly get right on the air.
Yeah, we're trying to climb that ladder of success.
Thanks for listening. Salvation comes only in our dreams. I feel my hatred grow all the more extreme. Can this world really be as sad as it seems? Promises and lies.